Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas! Go!
Here we go. All right, welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Woo!
Here we are. Another championship podcast.
Another fucking championship. Dude, number six, baby.
We've been doing this shit for 5 years, and they've won 3 Super Bowls.
I know. Maybe it's good luck that we're doing this shit.
Yeah, that's it. Didn't work in 2017 still. Even years, we've been
owning it. Unbelievable victory. Not the game that anyone really expected, I would say. Not that I didn't really expect it to be that low scoring for two offenses, two top four offenses going at it. And really, you know, to me, the story of it was what Bill Belichick was able to do and how well his defense played.
Well, you know, three points.
3 fucking points to the number 2 offense in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. And you go back and watch this game, and it looked like we were the number 1 defense out there. They couldn't do anything.
They basically became the best defense in the NFL over the last month of the season. Yeah.
I mean, and people say, oh, you know, they let up points against Kansas City. Well, they were the clear number 1 offense. So for them to only let up that many in Kansas City is an accomplishment. The Chargers were just crap points, you know, junk time points, most of it. And 3 points in the Super Bowl to Jared Goff. I mean, we knew he was going to shit his pants, but good God.
Yeah.
We didn't know he would shit his pants and the coach would shit his pants.
Yeah, the whole thing was just both defenses played really well. Neither offense really got it together.
Mm-hmm.
But the week we talked about it last week, and I think a lot of people saw this as one of those games that could have like 2 quarters of shutdown defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it happens in the first half, the second half, where you figure out what the other offense is doing, or you surprise them with what you're doing, and then they adjust. But you didn't see 60 minutes of shutout defense. Nobody saw that coming.
No, I mean, and everyone knows the Super Bowl usually starts slow. I mean, for all of Brady's times being there, he's never scored a touchdown in the first quarter. And he's probably not alone in that category. So everyone knows it starts slow, so you kind of always expect that because, you know, nerves get at you. But, yeah, I mean, I want to say until they scored at the end of the third quarter, they had punted every single time. Their longest drive for the Rams extended to 5 plays.
Wow.
For 25 yards. Or something, 31 yards, something like that. It was like less than 35 yards, and they hadn't gone more than 5 plays.
Wow.
I mean, you talk about a defense. That's incredible.
Yeah, and they always talk about bend but don't break defenses. This defense was like iron. No bend whatsoever.
It wouldn't let anyone go anywhere. I mean, even we lose Chung, and who was playing out of his mind up to that point. We lose him right at the beginning of the third quarter. You think, oh, my God, well, now they might have some breathing room. Nope, they let up 3 points in the second half.
Yeah, that's a really good point, is that really hasn't been pointed out that much, is that Patrick Chung, there's a lot of talk about what type of personnel you're going to put out there on defense against what the Rams do, because they come out with 3 receivers, so you think you want 5 defensive backs, but they also have a really strong power running game, so you want to have as much beef as you can in there. And what the Pats were doing, which is what they've done for years with Patrick Chung, is essentially play him as a linebacker.
Yeah, they played him as like the third linebacker.
Yeah, exactly. So it has like a base feel, but because he's so good at playing both pass and run, that you're able to kind of bridge the gap between those two personnel groupings, and then you lose him, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Our whole advantage personnel-wise that we had defensively is gone with 2 broken arms. I mean, did he break both his bones? That was a pretty gruesome injury.
Well, not 2 broken arms.
I mean, 2 broken bones.
I mean, I assume he snapped his forearm based on that hit. That was gruesome.
Yeah, it was gross. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the defense completely rallied around him, and speaks to the type of feelings that people have for him in that locker room, that they kind of stepped up even more in his absence.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that Harmon is the one that kind of took over that position for him. He's not the same type of player, but, you know, he's played in huge games. It's not like you have someone like Jordan Richards coming off the bench. It's like, oh, God, what's he going to do?
I know.
No, you know, Harmon, you know what I mean?
We turned to each other during the game. We're like, at least Jordan Richards isn't on the team anymore. Yeah,
that's what happened last year against Philly. You know, it's so impressive, too, from last year to this year. I mean, the only big difference on that defense was Hightower and maybe J.C. Jackson.
That's essentially the same defense
we rolled out there, and they let up 50-something points. This one let up 3.
Yeah.
And you can't take away anything from Hightower. I mean, he had a huge fucking game.
Hightower's unstoppable. The only blemish on his record in this game is the dropped interception at the start of the second half.
I know, right?
But he made up for it. He was on Goff's case the entire day.
Yeah, it's so... I mean, he had a rough year early because, you know, he's coming back from injury and he didn't look as fast. Well, that's over with. And, you know, it's also interesting what Bill did with scheme here, too, because we have these big, hulking linebackers, and they used to be in coverage all the time. And I don't know how they changed up the scheme, but this game, he was like, nope, you guys aren't going into coverage at all. You're rushing the passer every fucking passing down, it seemed like. That's what they did. They rushed 5. They didn't even overload the box. They rushed 5, and on every play, someone beat their man.
Yeah, they sent pressure all night, and the Rams had no adjustment.
I mean, I loved it. It's like, where has this defense been for the past so many years? They were doing zero cover blitzes where they just send 9 guys or 8 guys or whatever it is. Then they were in every other play they'd send 5. There was never a play they sent less than 4 guys.
Yeah, there was no let up. There was a play actually when they sent 3 guys. It was on a 3rd and 2. It's when it was around midfield and Goff got chased out to the right, and eventually Van Noy came out of coverage
and sacked
the sack. Yeah. And so even in that case, where he is playing coverage, still a linebacker gets the sack. The gas pedal was firmly pressed down the entire
game. They didn't let up. It was awesome.
And I was listening to Devin McCourty after the game, and he's like, dude, this is evidence of how good our secondary is. That Bill Belichick, you know, guru that he is, was willing to send the heat and leave them alone against some really solid weapons.
Yeah. I mean, they did it. They did it unbelievably. Jared Goff went 19 for 38, 229 yards, and an interception. He was sacked 4 times for 31 yards. He had a 13.4 QBR. Pretty fucking terrible.
Oh, my God.
He, you know, and the defense, we mixed it up. We played some man. We played a lot of zone, too, and we did a really good job of disguising it. And, you know, for all the talk you hear about Sean McVay being the offensive guru he is, Bill Belichick basically settled that one and was like, made him his little bitch.
Yeah, and he said so after the game. McVay was like, look, I got outcoached, plain and simple.
He said it plain, but the thing that really got to me that McVay said, he goes, well, they ran a lot more zone than we expected, and we hadn't really prepared for that. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You didn't prepare for a team to run zone? There's only 2 defense. You run man or zone. You had nothing for zone, nor could you draw anything up during the game.
Yeah, the great thing the Patriots were doing to disguise their zones was all the pre-snap motion that the Rams do that normally can identify that.
Yeah.
They were following the motion as if it was man every time.
Right.
Like, they put Brandon Cooks in motion, Stephon Gilmore follows right along with them. But then they play zone after the snap, and you're like, wait, I thought you just told me it was man, and now Goff's all flustered.
Well, it did seem like Gilmore was lining up in zone, or man-to-man on Cooks a lot.
Yeah, but then they were disguising that zone coverage pre-snap really, really well. And they were also, it's not as simple as just like drawing up big circles on a sheet of paper and saying, you stay there. They do a lot of matchup zones where some guy comes into their zone and then they follow him.
Right.
And that's why you see such tight coverage. And that's not a brand new thing. I mean, I read an article last week about Nick Saban talking about inventing that in Cleveland when he was coaching underneath Belichick. It's not a brand new thing. It's not like no one's ever seen it before.
Yeah.
But they just executed it to the nines.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you watched. It was funny. So last week we talked about the matchups that we wanted to see Gilmore on Robert Woods and the double coverage with Jonathan Jones on Cooks. And they actually did the exact opposite when they were playing man. They had Gilmore shut down Cooks the whole time, which he did. Brandon Cooks had, did he have for 8 20. Reception for 120?
Cookie had a good game.
When the hell did he catch all those?
He caught a couple like deep comebacks. He caught an in route. He had a couple big catches.
I guess I didn't realize he had that much. Robert Woods, they actually had a decent game too, which I'm surprised by. 5 for 70.
Yeah, not all of it was against Gilmore. Not all of Cookie's catches.
Right.
By no stretch did Gilmore have a bad game. I mean, clearly he had the season saving interception. He had a bunch of
He had a bunch of good breakups, too.
Breakups, yeah, he was doing really well. Cookie was moved around a little bit between who was covering him. It was primarily Gilmore. But Cookie could have had way more. He had...
That one in the end zone, I was just thinking.
Clearly the one in the end zone.
Where Jason McCourty made the play of the year.
Got to be the play of the year.
And he breaks that up, and he broke it up really well.
Really well, yeah, technically sound. And the I was just going to say real quick, the other Brandon Cooks had another pass, that a deep pass that was on him, but he doesn't absorb contact well. And the McCourty play is another really good instance of it, where he waits on the ball. He's a separation guy, pure and simple, and he doesn't go up and get it. He doesn't catch it in traffic. He doesn't do all those things. And that's I think that's one of the reasons he's bounced around so much, and he hasn't reached that next level as a receiver. And it really cost him in that game. There were two really big plays, and he just couldn't hold on under really good coverage and big-time contact. But those would have been championship plays. And just to talk about Jason McCourty, I mean, we've all seen the replay. Devin McCourty blows a coverage with Stephon Gilmore. They both go on to, I think it was Robert Woods who was running the combo route with Cookie. Turns him loose right in the middle of the field. Goff inexplicably pats the ball.
Yeah.
And then you could see the ball when it's coming into Cookie. It's coming in from like a steep angle. It was not a bullet by any stretch.
Oh, it was
and
a loft.
It's wobbling like crazy. Wobbling in the non-existent wind in the dome. And Jason McCourty had just enough time to get there and make that play go away.
That was so lucky. But yeah, they made it. The other big thing that we really did is running wise, they did nothing. They had 18 touches for 62 yards. Todd Gurley barely saw the field. He got one reception that didn't work out. He had 10 rushes for 35 yards. CJ Anderson, 7 for 22. I mean, they really couldn't get anything going on the run, and that killed them.
Yeah, it's all about tempo. That's what Sean McVay said. He's not hurt. We just wanted to get the right tempo. It's like nothing was working for the entire
game.
And
that's your best player offensively, and you didn't use them. They started going to the screen game late. That didn't do much. I mean, just, you know, I was watching some of the game today when I had a chance, and, you know, just defensively, they were sniffing everything out. They'd set up a screen. Van Noy's waiting for the screen guy. Lawrence guy comes in and crushes Goff. They have to throw it at the back. You know, he's got to throw it at the back of C.J. Anderson, who's not looking or ready yet. And there's so many plays like that. You know, and you got to give it to the Rams, too, on defense. They, you know, Brady was uncomfortable for a majority of the game.
Yeah, yeah. They were beating us up on the offensive line.
We were driving it. You know, we ended up rushing for 32 rushes for 154, which is pretty good. A lot of it came on the last drive, I feel like, to close it out.
Yeah, much of it did.
You know, Brady's numbers were decent but not great. He had that interception that was bad. It was on the first play.
No, first drive.
First drive, yeah, drive.
His first throw, though.
They were driving, and their first throw, he gets picked by that. He was only 21 to 35 for 262. He had an interception. He was only sacked once, though, but they were getting close to him, and, you know, every chance they got.
That sack was ugly. You remember that one? It was a coverage sack, and he got stripped, and then David Andrews, I believe, fell on it.
But well, he had so much time.
Yeah, and then he just kept hanging on to it and just waving that ball around.
Yeah, I know. It was almost ironic that that was the one that he got sacked on, because he had like 9 seconds. It was like, dude, throw it away.
Versus like, I think there was a play either I think it was right before that or right after that when Aaron Donald, they schemed up a blitz look on the right side of the Patriots offensive line, and they sprung Aaron Donald on a one-on-one against Shaq Mason. He beat him right across his face and was into Brady's lap in like a second and a half. And Brady just had to dump it into nowhere land.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of plays like that, and I feel like if he sees them, then he gets rid of the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that, I don't know. Yeah, that strip sack was frustrating. Yeah, Brady wasn't on his game. And the whole time you're watching it like, he's going to get it together, right? He's going to get it together. And you're
and
waiting
he did.
And waiting and waiting.
But
then
he did.
With 5 minutes to go in the game, he got it.
He got it. That's what he needed to do. Julian Edelman, MVP of the game, 10 receptions for 141 yards, some huge catches. He was pretty much open the whole game.
Constantly.
I feel like he could have thrown to him the entire game, and he would have made 90% of those catches.
And you watch the routes, and it's not like he's – a lot of them he was shaking people, But there were also routes where he just ran to an area and they just didn't cover him.
They just didn't cover him.
Aren't you noticing what's happening? He's the only offensive player that's playing well in this whole game.
Yeah. It's like, why don't you
make an adjustment?
Even Romo's saying that. Like, it's like the third quarter, and Romo's like, you just got to double cover him on third downs. He's like, I don't get why they aren't. That's where they're going.
Made no sense.
It's like, what are you guys doing?
You got to give some credit to Josh McDaniels also, too, scheming that up and getting those open spaces, getting him in one-on-one matchup.
Gronk had a great game, 6 for 87, probably his best game in weeks, months.
He had a pretty damn good game against the Chiefs, too.
He did, and you're right, he did have a pretty good game. So he was back. Besides that, no one else really did anything receiving. He was feeding the ball to them. James White was the biggest surprise, but they game-planned him.
Yeah, they took him out of the game.
They were putting corners and safeties on him all game.
Yeah, it worked.
From what I saw. It worked. Well, smart. I mean, you look at every goddamn Super Bowl we've won, the 2014 and 2016, it was the running back show. I think Shane Vereen in 2014 had 8, 9, 10 receptions. And
13
receptions.
And James White,
there you go. And what did James White have a couple years ago? So there you go. So that was smart by Wade Phillips for doing that, but you know, it just goes to show that okay, you scheme around that, well, Julian Edelman and Gronk are going to get you, and they did, and that's basically what Brady did to win.
Yeah, and then I thought maybe even more impressive than the touchdown drive was the 4-minute drive, like the 4-minute drill that they put on, where everyone in the whole country knew they were handing the ball off, and then they still did it effectively right up the gut. Didn't even have to get into third downs either. These are like second and 9 handoffs.
Was gassed.
Yeah, they were toast.
They were gassed. And even what's his name said it? Aaron Donald even said, he goes, they weren't even double teaming me in the end, and I wasn't making the plays. Like, I have to make those plays. They were single covering me, and I didn't do it.
Good on him.
The touchdown drive, which was so interesting to me. Did you hear this about that? What happened there?
You didn't give me a lot of details, but.
So
I heard they scored a touchdown.
The play calling. So on the play calling on the touchdown drive, did you hear any about that?
No, I didn't.
So basically, they threw out their entire game plan that they had. And for that drive, they went to a game plan that they had had months prior. Supposedly the one, I don't know if this is true, supposedly the one that they did in the Chiefs, versus the Chiefs in week like 6 or 7 or something. And it was basically where they went big, double tight with a fullback. So they brought in their run package and they threw on it. And they did the same freaking play like 3 times in a row.
Oh, I did hear about the same play 3 times in a row.
Yeah, that was how Gronk got wide open. He said he did it twice in a row or something. They supposedly did it 3 times in a row. They saw Gronk so wide open on one of them that they just did it again and threw it to him.
Yeah.
But it was the fact that that was not a part of their game plan. They hadn't practiced that at all. Josh just put it in and they went with it. And it just goes to show how good, you know,
How prepared everyone is.
Determined and prepared everyone, right, to be able to pull that off, a game plan, a whole formation and plays that they hadn't run in months.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. I didn't realize that they pulled it out from another great game. Gronkowski played the first Chiefs game during the regular season.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Yeah, what was it? So the play that they repeated was the same one that Gronk got up the left seam. That eventually got them inside the 5-yard line. But they did that, and they threw to Edelman on the first go-around. And then they threw to Gronkowski the second time.
Yep.
But if you watch the replay, Edelman's wide open the second time, too.
Yeah.
They couldn't do shit.
They couldn't cover anyone. Well, because they had Edelman in Gronk on linebackers. And they go, that's it. This is how we're going to score.
Yeah, it's over. We were watching that play when Gronkowski lines up in the slot on the left. And I go, there's nobody on him. There's a safety 12 yards downfield, but there's nobody over his head. And then late in the play clock, the linebacker runs over.
Yeah.
And then he's already and Gronkowski just beats him right off the bat. And for all the people out there who are saying that Brady dropped some sort of dime to Gronkowski on that play, it was a good pass. He got it where it needed to be. That wasn't an all-time Brady throw.
I thought it was pretty fucking good.
It was good, but it wasn't like the pass that he hit Julian Edelman on. The seam pass against the Chargers was incredible.
Yeah.
Just a couple weeks ago. But even I would vote for the first Gronkowski catch on that last drive when he was
a little wheel route or whatever.
He faked the block on the right side, and then he ran the wheel route, and Brady dropped it in right over his shoulder. I like that one a lot better.
Yeah,
I'm being picky.
But, I mean, I thought it was between three defenders, so it's like, yeah, it was a tight window. I don't care. Whatever happened, you know, they got it. So
yeah,
it was, and that just goes to show, you know, what the Patriots are willing to do and what the Rams weren't. The Rams were like, this is what we do. This is what we're going to try and do. Oh, it's not working. What do we do? The Patriots like, this is what, you know, what we have isn't working. What will work? Because we know we can find something, and they did. If Josh found the perfect, and that's a huge, speaks volumes to Josh, because Josh McDaniels, Bill basically said that was Josh's call.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, he said, you know, Josh came up with a great, he didn't say exactly, but he was like, Josh came up with a great scheme on that scoring drive. He kind of turned the whole thing around and came up with that on the fly. And, you know, we scored. You have to do what you got to do.
And then the next drive, they drove again.
And they had no chance. They basically put in the big package and said, all right, all you and your tiny little linebackers, good luck.
Yeah, and they fucked them
up. And they threw all over them. I mean, it's like, where the fuck was that for the third quarter? You know?
I mean, at least they figured it out.
At least they, right. I mean, to me, this is the closest I think we're going to get to a blowout for a Patriots Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know. This is a blowout, right?
It kind of was. I mean,
they got the lead with like 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Right.
It was tied.
And yeah,
I'm just thinking that they scored the touchdown, and then the Rams are driving. What were they, at the 35, 40-yard line of the Patriots?
Yeah.
And then they dial up an all-out blitz, Goff shits his pants, throws a duck, and Gilmore seals it.
Yep, and they threw a pick. Awesome. It's terrible, terrible throw.
Terrible, like, decision. Why everything. Are you doing that?
Who so throws dumb.
I just went over this. You don't throw jump balls to Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. He didn't know what else to do. He didn't. He was freaking out. They were down. Their offense had. He didn't know what to do. And their coach didn't put him in a position to make a good decision. So, you know, it's on both of them. I mean, that throw was on Goff. You really can't say anything else about that. Right. But, I mean, he was throwing it. I was waiting for that pick, because he was throwing balls that I was just like, ugh. Like, how aren't they picking these off? Like, come on. And finally we got it. I mean, we were driving on them the whole game. We just couldn't score. We had the missed field goal. I mean, there was a couple other times where we should have got field goals, or should have been in position to get field goals, and we didn't. We blew it. Something happened on the first drive. Brady threw the pick. That was a field goal. Anyways, I mean, it could have easily been 20-3 or 27-3. I mean, it seemed like they should have scored a couple more times, versus the Rams barely got over the 50-yard line.
Yeah, it took them a while, and I think they only did it 2-3 times.
They did, and I mean, it was a huge field position game, because, you know, no one could score, so we're pinning them in the foot within the 3, you know, within the 5, and they're pinning us within the 10. So, you know, these teams are really making each other work for it.
Yeah, we always skip over special teams, but Ryan Allen and Matthew Slater, heck of a combo.
Slater was killing it.
Yeah,
he was fucking killing it. The offense.
I really like how Slater will down the ball at the 3-yard line. How he doesn't, like, keep backing up and see, ooh, what if it takes another bounce? What's going to happen? He's like, no, the 3-yard line is good enough.
Right.
I'm taking it right here.
I know Bill will like that. I mean, and then, you know, the offensive line has really been the story of this year. The offensive line in the front 7, I mean, who knew that?
Who the heck knew they were going to get this much pressure and be able to stave off 2 of the best pass rushes?
Yeah.
3 of the best going through. This was not an easy slate of games in the playoffs.
No.
Beat the fuck out of all 3 of them.
We beat the 3 best teams in the league outside of the Saints.
Yeah.
And I think we would have beat the shit out of the Saints.
I know. A lot of people are saying that. They're like, oh, well, they would have had a much tougher time with Drew Brees than Jared Goff. It's like, yeah, fair enough. But we also would have had a lot easier time with the Saints defense.
We would have shredded the Saints defense. And all you need to do with the Saints offense is cover Michael Thomas.
Cover Michael Thomas and try to contain Alvin
Kamara. That's it.
Done.
I mean, We beat the top 2 offenses, which were the Chiefs and the Rams, and then we beat the hottest team in the NFL, which was the Chargers.
Yeah,
that was a tough road to the Super Bowl, and we did it. I mean, that's, you know, and I think it's so funny to me that, like, a lot of people are like, oh, that game kind of sucked. Huh? I'm like, that game was great. Like, that was a football game. They're like, oh, there's not, like, solo scoring and so many punts. It's like, well, then you clearly. You know, I mean, if you like high-flying offenses and stuff like that as a football fan, fine. But just so many people just, like, want to see a big play. It's It's like, this is a football game.
Yeah. It's
like, it's the... seeing the quarterbacks get crushed is awesome. Seeing nobody get any yards is fucking great. Like, when on those plays, they were like, Hightower was tossing around Goff like a ragdoll. They couldn't stop him if they tried. It seemed like he beat every one-on-one pressure that he wanted to. And it was awesome.
Yeah. And he did it quickly, too. Yeah, people like the high scoring and the NFL is trying to push it in that direction. You know, the whole Sports Center, Twitter. Yeah,
and it's so funny that it came down to a game that was 13-3.
Yeah, it was that
all that great. They're trying.
I know, but it was. It was an old-fashioned football game, which is great. We're used to watching recently football where it's like, oh, if only – it seems like the defense is the frustrated side of the ball, and they're like, oh, if they could only just get a stop. And this was the flip side of what – how I remember football from years past, where it was like the offense was frustrated. And, oh, if they could only just get a first down. Oh, if they could only convert this third down. If they could only get into field goal range.
Right.
And it was just like that kind of pining for offensive success. That was a different feel. And people aren't used to that, and they kind of freaked out.
Right. I mean, yeah, you saw it. I'm looking right now. We had 4 sacks on Goff and 7 tackles for a loss. They had 1 sack and they had 2 tackles for a loss. With their dominant front line, ours outplayed them. And they have a better offensive line, arguably, than ours, too.
More talented.
More heralded. Our front 7 on offensive line outplayed them on both sides.
Guaranteed. Yeah.
You know?
I know. Dante Scarnecchia is huge. A savage.
Yeah.
That dude is a miracle worker.
Well, they were just like fucking with Ndamukong Suh, like the first half. They were like leaving
the game.
Yeah, they left him unblocked, and he like didn't know what to do.
He just ran. He was playing nose tackle, and nobody touched him. And he like KO'd James Devlin on that first play. But we ran it for 10 yards.
Yeah.
He's like, oh shit.
Yeah. They kept doing it. They kept just screwing with him. It was like, that's a great game plan. Take him out of the game by just fucking with him. Screwing with his head. Nope, we're not blocking you. Why do we need to block you? He was like, what? And then the other thing I couldn't understand was when you watch Julian Edelman, the people covering him, he had like an 8 to 10 yard cushion on every single play. Not all of them, but it's like when Tlaib was covering him, it's like Tlaib's usually pretty good at putting his hands on players, making it so they can't get off the line. And they did quite the opposite. It's like you give him 8 yards. That's his wheelhouse, is 8 yards.
Yeah, you can't give him any space.
I mean, I know they're maybe afraid that if they put their hands on him, he got by him, now they're screwed, sure. But it's like, you're giving him an 8 to 10 yard cushion? It's like, he'll just run a fucking 3 yard little out. Yeah. Done.
What a year Edelman had. He comes back off an ACL surgery, gets suspended the first 4 weeks of the season for a controversial PED test. And then he's 32. He's a 32-year-old slot receiver. It's like Wes Welker didn't last that long. He wasn't that good at 32. And then Edelman has a good season. He gets better and better as the season goes along, gets more and more comfortable, gets his legs on, and then has a dominant performance in the Super Bowl, wins Super Bowl MVP. And it got me thinking, like, Brady was suspended the first 4 games of the 2016 season.
Yeah.
Edelman suspended first 4 games 2018 season. Both of them go on to be the Super Bowl MVP.
It's kind of crazy.
Can we get a suspension for next season? Can we get one?
It helps us out. That's why I said it keeps these guys fresh.
Somebody piss hot. Gronk, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, right.
Bring him back.
I mean, just so many good plays. I mean, our defense, I can't get over it. Van Noy looks like an all-star out there.
Van Noy's incredible.
Lawrence Guy looks unbelievable. I mean, we know what Flowers looks like.
How about Jonathan Jones in back-to-back weeks, a guy who is a borderline backup
for
the rest of the season? He goes out and, with help, shuts down Tyreek Hill. And then the following week, again with help, but not nearly the same amount of help had against Tyreek Hill, he does a great job against Robert Woods. I mean, Robert Woods' biggest catch was one that he probably didn't catch. The 2 feet that may have gotten down by a split second
on
the left sideline.
Question it, yeah.
They didn't review it because the Pats had already used two timeouts in the first half there. I know it didn't result in points, but that was like a 20-25 yard completion, and you take that away from Robert Woods, and he has a very pedestrian game.
Yep, absolutely.
Jones stepped up big time. I mean, J.C. Jackson is a player to reckon with now.
I know it's awesome. Yeah. Our cornerbacks next year are unbelievable.
Yeah, well, we're going to lose. Well, Jason McCourty's a free agent, and so is Johnny. But Johnny's restricted.
So we'll probably have him back to some, most likely. We have J.C. Jackson, we have Gilmore, and then we have that dude, Duke Dawson, if he can do anything. He's a third corner. It's like, oh, versus all of our other second-round cornerbacks. It's like, you have to be the number one or number two. Nope, you have to be number three or four.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank God.
Thank God is right.
The receivers, you know, definitely shows that we needed something. Chris Hogan couldn't fucking sniff separation.
No, not one bit.
The whole game, he was just getting just ruined. They really didn't look at Dorsett at all. And, you know, that's what it is. Cordarrelle Patterson had a couple little catches, nothing major, but they tried to get him involved. A
couple good handoffs.
But Hogan, they kept trying to feed him the ball, and he just couldn't do anything.
There's no one else.
Gone.
Oh, he's so clearly gone. That's an easy one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll need to bring in somebody who can play the X receiver, somebody who can play opposite Edelman, especially on the outside, who can make some good blocks in the running game and can also get open off play action. Hogan's not that guy right now. He was intermittently.
Kind of.
Yeah. At some points he was. Josh Gordon seemed like he was that guy. And everything I've heard is that he could be back with the team.
He could be, yeah. I don't know how. I think we should trade him.
Trade him for what? Who's going to trade anything for him?
Anything.
Oh, no way. No way. His upside is worth way more than a conditional sixth-round pick.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you need him.
It's a good redemption story. What do you? We just talked about how you don't have any receivers.
I'd rather get somebody that in the building. You can count on to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, but don't you want to see that redemption?
I don't really give a shit. Ship him off. Get rid of him. Okay. Get someone that can fucking that's going to be there for all every game.
Yeah.
Did you hear what Bill said to Brady and Edelman when he went to hug him after the game?
No, what'd he say?
He said, "We'll be back for the next one."
Oh my God, that's great.
Or we'll be here next time or something. Like
he is
pumped and he's still fucking fiending for it. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's jacked up. I hope he convinces Dante Scarnecchia to coach forever.
Sounds like Scar's gonna come back. Now the other big one is Gronk. Think he comes back?
I think he does.
I think he does.
I think that he might go for one more go around. He's due $10 million this year. It's a pretty nice payday. I think what they did this year with him is like a sign of goodwill. That
right.
They weren't just like, hey, run a seam route 10 times a game.
Right.
And you're going to be like limping most of the season. They really saved him and really made the most of his touches.
I think they'll... You're right. I think they're going to propose the season. They're probably going to have a talk with him and say, you know, Gronk... You have Brady here. We're going to go for another round. We're going to leave it up to you. You know, if you need to sit out a game or whatever. And Ted Johnson was kind of alluding to this on the radio a little bit. He's like, Bill will work with you, you know, at the end of your career if you want to keep going. And, you know, with all the trade rumors and what's going on with Brady, it seems like all that shit's on the back burner. And if Gronk comes back, they're not going to be like, oh, we're going to trade you. They're going to be like, no, you're coming back. It's fine. Come back And as Johnson said, he's like, there's been guys in the past where Bill just says, yeah, you know, you don't need to come to every training camp practice and you can sit these practices out. And, you know, we don't need to throw you out there every play. Like you said, running 10 seam routes, like, no, you're going to be blocking if that's what you want to do. And we'll send you out on a couple routes when we need you. In the big games, we're going to use you.
Yeah, exactly.
And he might come back to that.
Just his presence on the field is still valuable because the other teams have to respect it because at any point you could split them out wide and throw one up. And that's not a high-risk play, throwing it up on a fade route outside the numbers.
Yeah. I mean, he had that 29-yard catch or whatever it was to get to the goal line.
Yeah.
It's like and there was three guys covering him. It's like, you have to respect that.
Yeah.
Like, he made that catch. Like, if you don't respect it, he will kill you.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, during the regular season, you keep him on the field, and he mostly blocks. He pass protects pretty well. But the other team has to respect that, and it opens things up for other people.
Yeah.
And then you just basically save him for when you need him, which is usually fourth quarter of close games or playoffs.
Right.
And that seems like, I feel like they could come to an agreement.
I'm sure they could, especially like all that crap about, you know, Brady and Bill, or they all pissed off and all that stuff that we heard in the offseason. It's like, nope, I'm sure they're pretty happy right now.
They seem pretty good.
Also,
in terms of Gronk getting traded, he made it pretty clear last year that he's not playing anywhere else.
No, so, yeah.
I don't think his trade value is going to be that high. I think before he said that, the whatever deal they had with the Lions, I bet it was pretty substantial.
It's probably two first-rounders.
Compensation. I don't know if I'd go that far, but maybe a one and a three, maybe something like that.
Sure.
I bet they definitely got a one.
But yeah, like that's not going to happen. That. Well, no, it doesn't even matter. They're not going to do it.
What I mean is there's no temptation because no one's going to offer it.
Right.
Everyone's going to be like, well, he's not going to play for us, so how about a fourth rounder? And then they're going to be like, well, why would I trade Gronkowski for a fourth rounder? He's right. One season of him is easily worth more.
Yeah. And what do you think about the McCourties?
That's a good question. Devin McCourty.
I think he's retiring.
He is slated to make $13 million here.
Which isn't going to happen.
That's not going to happen. So he is either going to have to restructure, extend, or retire. Those are his options.
And he even said, like, after I win it, if me and my brother win it, like, I don't know what else I have to prove.
Yeah.
Or, like, what else I could do. And it's like, the guy's been to 9 straight AFC title games. He's won 3 Super Bowls. He's been to his Pro Bowls. He's probably had an All-Pro mixed in there. He won with his brother. It's like, I can see him retiring.
I could see it, too. Yeah. Yeah, he's probably... Both he and and Gronkowski could retire. I think he's probably the more likely.
I do too, because I don't think Jason's coming back.
Jason's a free agent and right. could definitely make more money elsewhere.
Right, and he even might retire.
He could. I mean, he just won. He just made the best play of his life.
Yeah, with his So
this will get sorted out in good time.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to speculate about it. I mean, I was all over the Patriots salary cap and looking at who could restructure, who's making too much money and all these.
Well, Dwayne Allen's gone. We know that.
Clearly, that's already. that was written in the stars last year and didn't happen inexplicably. But this year, he's making over $7.3 million.
Yeah.
With no dead cap. Zero.
Yeah, there he's gone.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah. So, what do you see for the future? Anything?
I see more success. I see Brady continuing to play well. If the coaching staff stays together, I think they took some lumps losing Flores.
Yeah.
He was groomed for a long time to be
the defensive coordinator. Like
the head of that defense.
Well, it just goes to show, I mean, like we said, the defense wasn't Hightower was there this year, which is in the playoffs. He played really well. So you can't take that away from him. But Matt Patricia's defense never looked as
didn't look like this.
They didn't look like that. They like this defense had a fire. Like after the first quarter in that game, even after the Chiefs game, coming into this, you're like the defense looks good. Going in after the first quarter or first half of this game, you're like the fucking Rams are scared to go against that defense. Like when is the last time you can think of that? Maybe 2014 or all the way back to 2004. That like this defense was moving around and these guys were bigger and pushing you around and you knew like the quarterback was like fuck.
Yeah, what? I think this is the best defense that the Patriots have had since those 0-4 team that like Brewski, Vrabel, Richard Seymour, Vince Wilfork.
I mean the way they were playing, it was like, the defensive line, it's like the offense looked like little like timid. They were like, We can't what are we gonna do against them? I don't remember seeing that. And it was really only for the playoff games, for the most part. I mean, you could say it was in Buffalo and versus the Bills and the Jets, but it's like, that could just be the Bills and the Jets.
Yeah, but they just Chargers, messed up everybody.
The Chargers, the they fucked with Goff. They fucked with Mahomes, the MVP of the league. Like, he didn't know what the hell was going on for the first half. So, I mean, yeah, if the defense can play like this, we obviously have a very strong running game. That's all staying intact. Our offensive line is mostly staying intact. We need a left tackle, which hopefully Trent Barron will come back for because he had a great playoff run.
He's going to make way too much.
Yeah.
Nate Solder made $15 million a year and has never played as well as Trent Brown played this year.
That's a good point. But we also have Wynn.
I know. We have Wynn, who's a 6'2" left tackle, evidently.
Hey, whatever works.
I don't know, man.
I know.
I don't know if that's going to happen. Yeah, you'd like to see Trent Brown come back, but he's probably going to make 12 plus a year, and they don't have that much cap room. I think they could.
They have a pretty good. They have like $27 million.
They have $27 million if they cut Dwayne Allen and they restructure Brady and they don't like carry another $5 million into the season like they like to do.
Mm.
Okay. So they could. I just think that
they're going to go for Trent Flowers, or do you think he's gone?
They could fit either Trey or Trent Brown. They could fit one of those guys. but not both. And I think Trey Flowers McCourty is the most retires, likely gun. If McCourty retires, that brings a lot of cash.
Yeah, so.
That would bring another $10
million. Right.
That'd be a big deal.
So we'll see what happens. But and then Greg Schiano was hired as the defensive coordinator. Don't know if I like that one at all, but whatever. I don't know. It's really, you know, well, they were talking about like, oh, you know, everyone's talking about how great Flores did, especially the playoffs, which is right for sure. But then I don't know, it was some football insider on, you know, that knows the team and knows Bill. He was like, no, that was all Bill. He was like, Flores had some like was doing it, but it was Bill calling the shots.
It's got Bill's fingerprints all over.
Exactly. It. So it's like, so what is Schiano going to do? Probably fucking nothing.
I think it's kind of a good hire because Schiano's more of a leader, motivator type coach, you know, less of an X's and O's kind of guy.
Yes.
Let Bill do that.
Yeah.
But they also lost Chad O'Shea, who did he's going to be the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
And for the Dolphins, he was, you might remember from the Do Your Job documentary, he's the guy that does red zone game plans, which they didn't need much of in this game.
Yeah.
So he's gone. And I saw that, I was like, oh man, that's a big hit. And I was like, oh wait, we still have Josh McDaniels, like the guy who's been the number one head coaching candidate for
which is crazy
3-4 years in a row and still hasn't taken a job.
I know, right?
Crazy. I think that Schiano is a bridge until Steve Belichick's ready to be.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
I just made that up right now.
It's not that bad.
It seems reasonable, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I bet Bill won. Yeah. I mean, we could talk about the future in due time, but this is their third ring in 5 years. And Brady's been to four out of five. Brady's got six rings. Bill's got six as a head coach, two as an assistant. I mean, Julian Edelman's a 3-time Super Bowl winner. Yeah. They've never won. They haven't this most recent stretch. They haven't won without him on the field.
No.
In a Super Bowl because he was injured last year. Same can be said for Dante Hightower. Haven't won without him on the field.
Yep.
I mean, if you're talking about what speaks to your value to the team, if they only win championships with you and they don't without you, that's a big indicator.
Oh yeah.
About how good you are. And Hightower's still with the team and Jamie Collins is off in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. That's
and
a good point.
We both probably liked him better.
At the time, yeah. The team. But so the big players come alive in the big moments, big games.
Nobody is a bigger player than you just got to love this team. This team had a different feel. I know they were talking the underdog thing up, and a lot of people were like, oh, that's overblown, because a lot of people look at the team as they still give them credit for the first three Super Bowls forever ago, when the only player left over is Brady, and yes, he's the most important player. But I think they were a little bit underdogs in the sense that they were very close to being the number four seed going into the playoffs. Like, they could have missed a bye, and then they literally got the two seed with an 11-5 record. They haven't done that since 2001. This was of the nine Super Bowls that Brady and Belichick have gone to together, they were a one seed for seven of them. This year, they were a two seed. That's only similar to the 2001 team. This team won with the running game first.
Yep.
That's the sign of a non-dominant team, typically, in the modern NFL. And, when you watch these games, they're talking about all the pass rushers on the other side and the superior offensive line groupings. And, like, I didn't hear Marcus Cannon's name once.
Yeah.
Nobody said his name. It's like, that dude is dominating out there.
Yeah.
And awesome. But he doesn't have name recognition.
Yep.
And so you hear about all the guys on the other team who have got these all-pro nods. You don't hear Adrian Claiborne's name come up. Nobody's talking about Larry Guy.
Yeah.
They're all talking about Chris Jones and Dee Ford and Melvin Ingram and Aaron Donald with good reason.
But yet those other no names are out playing them.
These are the ones that came through. And I just want to bring up one thing real quick. Aaron Donald signed a giant contract before this year. His average annual salary, $22.5 million. Here are the players in terms of average annual salary. None of that, you know, they make $4 million this year and then it goes up to $8 million. Just talking strictly on average annual salary. The people that we afforded on this defense for his $22.5 million. Dante Hightower, not cheap. Got him. Kyle Van Noy, also on a veteran deal. Adrian Claiborne, veteran deal. Trey Flowers, Pro Bowler. Adam Butler, John Simon, who played a sizable role.
Yeah.
And Dietrich Wise. Or you could substitute Wise for Landon Roberts and get our entire front seven in base.
Yeah.
Three tackles excluded. But the those are the people. That's what you can put together. And that's a sign of what Belichick does. You go to their right. salary pages, and there's like 15 guys who are making $3 million to $10
million. Right. Yep.
And you go to everyone else's page, and it's like, this guy's making 25, 22, 20, and then whoa, huge drop-off to rookie deal. So
yeah.
He's got a roster-building strategy.
That just works.
I don't know what that's the reason I don't think Trey Flowers comes back.
Yeah.
Because he's throws
get
that
paid.
Off.
Yeah. I know it's too bad because he's a great player. But it's all but when Trey Flowers leaves, it's like, so we let up he if he becomes a great D-end, which he kind of already is, he let up Chandler Jones and Trey Flowers, like two of the best D-ends in the league in the last decade.
Yeah, but like listen to all the people you can afford.
But then
for
you
that.
Win the Super Bowl.
And that's I hear people talking about the Rams Super Bowl window. I'm like, it's closing rapidly, rapidly. You talk about the deal that they gave to Brandon Cooks, the deal they gave to Todd Gurley, Aaron Donald, Jared Goff's going to get huge money, and then everyone's going to be gone.
Right.
And you're going to have a top-heavy team that's going to look like the Packers.
Or the Saints.
Like, how do they not be able to play defense anymore?
Where it takes
the Saints
years.
How many years?
It takes them years to come back from that stuff. I know. I mean, and Bill is great at drafting, you know, certain positions. He's missed on corner and safety, but clearly he's been doing all right with them. And he is great at pass rushers. Great.
He's good at finding them in the middle round.
Wherever. Too. Wherever.
Yeah, wherever, really.
First round, true? Second, third, fourth, fifth round, he's great at finding them. So, yeah, I mean, it's as sweet as it is, it's still going, which is unbelievable.
It's still going. Yeah, there's no quit.
There's no
one
quit,
one Patriot place.
It almost seems like Bill's going to – he's like, all right, Brady said 45. That's another 3 years. He's like, I'm in.
I could do it.
It seems like what he's doing.
Why the hell not?
I know, right? He's like, might as well continue with this guy and see if we can win another one or two.
This has got to be the most fun way to do it, right? To be an absolute expert. You know twice as much as anyone
everybody else.
And you're just – I mean, it's got to be satisfying to just go out there and own people – after the other ones are the new wonder kind, the new genius on the block. And
yeah.
Then he could still checkmate them all the time. And he's like, well, what are you going to do? I'm me.
Yeah.
I think that's what Brady feels. Yeah. Great season. It was frustrating at times, but so sweet. And I really loved this.
I mean, it, you know, it's just so funny from 6 weeks ago or whatever it was thinking, oh my God, I don't know if they have a fucking chance. Like, I'm Mr. Optimist for the Pats, and I don't know if they have a chance. And it's like, now they're like, yeah, just an awesome team. Possibly Bill Belichick's biggest, biggest, wow, how the hell did he do that type thing? You know, with all these other teams, like you're talking about with all these salary, you know, to get this team to get riled up and just show their true talent in the playoffs and dominate everybody.
Yeah.
When, you know, everyone's saying all season long that they just don't have the talent. They're like, they just don't have the talent to win. And all of a sudden, they have more than enough, and they kick the shit out of everybody. You know, it's like, that's possibly his most impressive run outside of maybe 2001.
2001 is still untouchable.
Right, because no one saw that coming. But this, it's like, you know, you look at every other team. There are way bigger names on every other Super Bowl team we ever had. Even Super Bowl losers that we had.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
2007 comes to mind pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. But, like, compared to 03, 04, 14, even 16, it's like we had more talent, you know, on paper on all those teams than this one.
Certainly that 14 team.
And
that
this
team was stacked.
And this playoff run was probably as dominant as we've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, they owned it. I just want to finish up on one question. Like, is this a separate dynasty?
Yeah.
3 out of 5?
I kind of think it is. I mean, Brady and Belichick are still there, but this was the dynasty of...
This is,
you know, the first
Hightower,
one...
Edelman dynasty.
Hightower, Edelman, McCourty, Gronk.
McCourty.
Exactly. Friggin' Andrews, Shaq Mason. You know, this is... James White, this is their dynasty, versus the first one is, you know, Willie McGinnis and Deion Branch and Troy Brown and Falk and fucking Rosie Colvin and Ty Law and all the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ted Johnson, Brewski.
It's a different one, right?
It's 10 years apart.
Together.
It was 10 years apart. It was a decade apart. It was just the fact that they kicked the shit. They were so good in between those 10 years that it makes it seem like, oh, well, they never stopped. I mean, just think back to how hard it was for Brady to get that fourth one. It took him 10 years. He lost two Super Bowls, and he finally got back. And ever since, now he's won another. Now all of a sudden, it's at six. He's 6-3.
Yeah, I think they should be viewed as separate dynasties also.
Well, it's like part one and part two, kind of seems like.
Yeah.
It's the fairest way to put it.
It seems weird to lump them all together. I mean, a lot of those guys were in high school during the first first go-around. And it reminds me of the 49ers dynasty that I was like, it's a 14-year dynasty? Like, what? How does that make sense?
Yeah.
With different quarterbacks and two different head coaches? Like, those are separate. But the way that they won it, 81, 84, 88, 89, 94, it's like they were always pretty close.
They were always relevant.
They were always reaching distance from their last ring or their next one. But this 10 years, I mean, the Steelers won two in the meantime.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't have that.
Right.
So I'm in agreement with, part one, part two, maybe we could think of a better name.
Mm.
It's sweet, man. It doesn't get old. For all those people who are out there like, does it get old? Aren't you bored by now? I'm like, fuck off.
I know, right?
I get to see amazing. My team play in the Super Bowl almost every year, and sometimes they win.
Yeah.
It's
most of the time they win.
Yeah, right. Pretty good.
Unbelievable. Well,
here's to another successful season of the Patriots podcast. Thank you, co-host.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Thank you to all the listeners who have tuned in and shared this wonderful 2018 season with us. We appreciate you big time, and we look forward to doing some more stuff. It'll be a slowed down schedule from us in the off season per usual, but we'll be here to cover salary cap stuff, whether the Patriots use a franchise tag. Is Gostkowski gone? Probably.
Possibly.
He's missed a kick in like every big game, seemingly. A lot of good things to go over in the off season. Patriots have a bunch of draft picks again this year. And we're just looking forward to seeing how the 2019 season gets put together.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Well, thank you, guys. And we will talk to you in the coming weeks. Peace out.
Adios.